headfirst into our into our wonderful Gemara of Masechet Sanhedrin, with Hashem's help. We're starting the new Mishnah, second Mishnah of the Perek, already up to Daf Yod Chet. 18 Dafim for that first Mishnah. You did well. You should have a Siyum after that first Mishnah, but we'll count yesterday's festivities as a Siyum. So, second
we're
Mishnah.
18A.
18A. 18A2. Mishnah. Kohen Gadol.
And this is Sanhedrin.
It is, I hope. It was last time I checked. Sanhedrin. Kohen Gadol Dan Vadaninoto. A Kohen Gadol Dan, he judges. Vadaninoto, and we judge him. What are we talking about? What does that mean in English? Huh? What does it mean in English? The Kohen Gadol judges and we judge him. What's going on here? What's the?
He can be in a Sanhedrin.
Uh huh.
He also gets judged by Sanhedrin.
He can, yeah, or a Beit Din. He can be a Dayan, and a Beit Din, or a Sanhedrin. I can also get judged, right? Why do I need to be told that? Isn't that obvious? He's a Jew. All Jews are fit for judging and being judged. Why do I need to be told?
Maybe because he's supposed to bring atonement on the nation. So maybe it's not so fitting that he would be judging the nation.
Good. Any other?
I just said maybe he's not fitting to be a judge because he's supposed to be the guy who atones all of our sins.
To be careful how he judges because he's being judged at the same time what he put on his decisions.
Therefore,
he has to run the try to.
Yeah, but that's not what the mission is telling us. I mean, what's the mission? The missioner comes to say he can judge and be judged.
Judges
on the Beit Din, but everyone can judge and be judged. Like the mission could have opened with Yisrael, Dan, but then you know, and I'm Yisrael. He can be a judge. So why do we need to tell? If an Am Yisrael, a normal Jew, can judge and be judged, the mission is not going to tell me that. It's obvious. So why does he need to tell me that the Kohen Gadol can judge and be judged? Right, because you might have had, in Gemara terms, you would say you might have had a Havamina that he wouldn't be the case. Right, you might have thought otherwise. Why would we have thought otherwise?
Because of his position.
From his position.
He could be so arrogant as saying, I'm above the people. I mean, we've had plenty of experiences with that, both with the Arab rug government and with the Goyim.
Okay, so that works well for reason why we need to be told that he can be judged. He has thought that his position, we don't judge him. We're going to see the next one, the king. We don't judge the king. Lean over. So you might have had that that he couldn't be judged because of his position. So you need to be told that he can be judged. So why are we told that he can judge? Why would I thought he could not? Why do I need to be told that? Maybe he can't be a judge? Why not?
You might think that he's so close to Hashem because of his position that he's being fed by Hashem everything, and you can't. It's like saying Hashem you're wrong.
Ronald, but why can't he be a judge? Why can't he be a Dayan?
Because
you're telling me it. So the fact that you're telling me, the mission only comes to tell me, usually, if I would have had an assumption to the otherwise.
That's
the
reason that he's being fed by Hashem. He's supposed to judge by the witnesses, the people who are coming before you.
Right.
And if you're judging on what you know, and because you are way up there, then you can't be a fair judge.
Uh-huh.
You give the right decision, but not based on the witnesses, but
on your own.
On your Kodesh.
Maybe.
On your graph Kodesh.
He has interest in it because he's to be blamed for that. And we heard from the guy that was the refuge camp, right?
The commentators explain that there's a valid havamina that you might have thought that his position is that we don't judge him. He's too high to be judged by the people. Right, so that's why we need to be told that we judge a Kohen Gadol. But the fact that he judges is not so it's not so clear why we need to be told that, because we don't really have a havamina, a good reason why to think otherwise that he shouldn't be a judge. So what Kohen trees say here that we only include that for symmetry. But actually the fact that he judges is not such a chiddush. We don't really need the Mishnah to tell me that he judges. I would have worked that out myself. So judges and be judged, you just because it comes as a pair, if you like. Because we're going to see down in the Mishnah, everything comes now as a pair. This and that, this and that. And judge and be judged come together. So even though you didn't really need to tell me, because I would have known myself that a Kohen Gadol can judge, can be a Dayan, he can judge. No reason not to. There's no logical starting assumption that I would think there's a good reason why you shouldn't be a judge. Right? In the absence of being told otherwise, there's a default position. Right? The Mishnah doesn't tell me all Jews are valid to be Dayanim. Why not? Because it's obvious. Right? There's no reason to suspect otherwise.
But it stays somewhere else.
You could start bringing in reasons. Yeah, you need to have a certain level of learning. You need to be over a certain age. From a svara, but there's no basis in Torah to tell me. Okay, so that's the opening of the mission.
Isn't there also something different?
What?
Namely, they had to be valid enough to be. They had to be valid to be a witness.
Who?
The Kohen.
To be a witness.
For example, someone who's not mentally competent, someone who's a relative.
Right, but we're talking about Nahum, but we're just talking about we're talking about the Kohen Gadol as a job, as a function, as a position, whether or not he can be.
Well, there's in the second temple time, weren't there enough Kohen Gadols that were bought out?
Nahum, but anyone can be bought out. So there's nothing to do with the position specifically that would lead you to disqualify them. Okay, so next, Me'id u'me'idin oto. He may testify and be testified against. Right, so that kind of follows the fact that he's judging and being judged. Okay, he's allowed to be a valid witness. Okay. Choletz. What's choletz? Chalitza. What's chalitza? With the shoe. The shoe thing. Right? The rejecting the brother's wife in marriage. The brother dies, leaves a wife without any children. The Kohen Gadol is the remaining brother, the oldest brother. Can the Kohen Gadol do Yibam and Chalitza with this woman? So the girl from the mission is now telling us. So Chalitza, yes.
He can marry her.
Right? He can marry his brother's, his deceased brother's wife. Yeah? No, that's not Chalitza. That's divorce. That's rejecting. He can reject. Right? Why might have you thought he can't? I mean, it's obvious. Everyone can do chalitza. Why do I need to be told that the Kohen Gadol can do chalitza? What might I have thought otherwise?
He can't marry you anyway.
Or because if you can't marry, then you can't do Khalid. So you might have thought that they're joined, somehow joined. That's not true. But we see that. There's lots of places where you're not allowed to marry her, and therefore you have to do Khalisa. Nahon, but there are other places, for example, where you're already married to a sister, or you're already married to a relative, and you can't marry her. If two brothers marry two sisters, right? Two brothers marry two sisters, and one brother dies, leaving his wife without children. How can I do Khalitsa? How can I get married to her with Yibum if she's the sister of my wife? I'm not allowed to marry two sisters. Forbidden from the Torah. So in that case, I have to do Khalitsa. I've got a choice. Right, so in the case where you don't have a choice, Khalitsa is the given, right? That's your default position. You have to do Khalitsa. So here the Kohen Gadol. So why do I does the Mishnah need to tell me that he can do Khalitsa? Why? I would have thought they couldn't. Why not? So there is I may have thought he couldn't. There is a valid Havamina that I may have thought that he can't do Khalitsa.
And that he would have to marry his brother's wife.
No. That he's not allowed to reject her. He's not allowed to do the shoe thing. Why is he not allowed to do the shoe thing? So, told up for your imagery, because part of the shoe thing is that the woman spits at him. And you might have had a havamina that it's not kavod to spit at the Kohen Gadol. So we don't put him through that process. He's not allowed to do that. Kavod for the Kohen Gadol in the position, we don't let the king do it, for example. We don't allow the king for the same reason. You're not allowed to spit at the king. Right? So you might have thought also the Kohen Gadol is in the same status, so you're not allowed to spit at the Kohen Gadol, but the Mishnah says no, it's fine. You can do Khalitsa, she can take the shoe off, spit on him, depending on, right? Okay, so Khalitsa, v'cholsin li'ishto, Khalitsa may be done to his wife. The Kohen Gadol's wife, the Kohen Gadol dies, and his wife is without children. So the brother of the Kohen Gadol can reject the Kohen Gadol's wife. Right? I don't think that one's such a chiddush. Right? There's not really an assumption why you wouldn't have thought that. Okay? So it might just be to add in all the possibilities, because we're now going to see Umayyah bin et ishto, and Yibum may be performed with his wife. Yibum may be performed with his wife. Nachon. Nachon. And here we're going to see the Yabim et ishto aval hu einam yabim. So you can do Yibum with his wife, but he can't do Yibum himself.
So obviously, I can't take that.
Right, because. Mifnei, it says here, it says in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, Mifnei Shehu Asur Ba'almana, because he's forbidden to marry a widow. But a regular Kohen is not forbidden to marry a widow. Right? But the Kohen Gadol is forbidden to marry a widow. But his brother, right? Makes sense? You're with me?
Yeah.
You want me to go over that?
Yeah, let's go over that again.
Okay, so Yibum and Khalitsa, right? The two options. When a man dies and he leaves a wife without kids. So the oldest brother, usually first, then the other brothers. But let's say the oldest brother gets the opportunity to do Yibum or Khalitsa.
Yibum meaning he
Yibum
married.
To marry her, and Khalitsa to reject her and set her free. She can go marry someone else. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is, can the Kohen Gadol be involved in either of those? Can he do Khalitsa? Can he do Yibum? Can you do Yibum or Khalitsa to his wife as well? Because she's now got the status of being the wife of the Kohen Gadol, and maybe it's not appropriate to marry her in that way. Like we're going to see with the king's wife. It's not where there's a dispute whether or not you're allowed to do Yibum or Khalitsa with the king's wife. So, but with the Kohen Gadol, what's the answer? So he can do Khalitsa, but he can't do Yibum. And his wife, you're allowed to do chalitza or yibum with his wife. Yeah? Okay. Mate lo mate. Dead there is to him dead. Right? What mate lo mate? If a close relative dies, Kohen Gadol has a close relative that dies, mate lo mate. Eino yotze achar mita. He does not go out after the mita. Right? There's two reasons for this. It depends what it means, it does not go out. One view is he doesn't go out of the Beit HaMikdash at all. But the initial view here is that he doesn't go out after the mita means he doesn't follow immediately after the body. Why? Because we're worried that in his sorrow he'll forget himself and he might touch the body. So we don't let him follow immediately after him, like when the borders, and we're going to see what we do instead. Ella, rather, hen nichnasim, they enter, v'hu nigle, and he is revealed. I'll explain what it means in a minute. Hen niglin, they're revealed, v'hu nichse, and he enters. Nichse. Oh, sorry, hidden, sorry. They're revealed and he's hidden. Sorry, hidden, not enter. Let's start again. Rather, what happens? Hen nichsin, they're hidden, but who neglen, he's revealed. Hen neglen, but who nichse, he's revealed and they're hidden. What's he talking about? So Rashi explains, second Rashi down, hen nichse, but who negle, they're hidden and he's revealed. Keshehen yotzin mi mavoize, when they come out of this alleyway, v'nichnasin the mavoyechen, they go into a different alleyway, v'nichsin and are hidden, no, mimavoy harishon, from the first alleyway, she'eino ro'e otan, that means we don't see them, hu nigle, he appears, he's revealed, v'nichnas l'mavoy harishon, and enters the first alleyway, v'hen nichsin and they're hidden, mimavoy hasheni, v'hu nigle v'nichnas l'toko. So one by one. So they go into the alleyway, he waits. They come out of the alleyway, go into another alleyway, he comes into the first one. Just so he doesn't see them. He follows behind but doesn't see. That's the plan. That's the idea. Okay. V'yotzei imahen ad petach sha'al ha'ir. And he goes with them according to, sorry, as far as the city gates. Right, he doesn't need Jerusalem, the old city gates. Dibre Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda on there, Eino yotzei min ha'mikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Kohen Gadol doesn't even leave the temple. Why not? Mishum ne'amar, because it says in Pasuk in Vayikra, U'min ha'mikdash lo yetzei. From the Mikdash, he shouldn't go out. Literally, shouldn't go out. Not even to bury the dead. So, if they're burying him outside the city, presumably would, yeah, definitely somewhere outside the Mikdash, at least for sure they haven't buried him outside the Mikdash. So he's not going to be there. Okay. Now, next. Kishahu Menachem Achirim. When he comforts others, right? If a Kohen Gadol comes to comfort mourners, Derech Kol Ha'am Ovrim Bazer Achar Zeh. Derech Kol Ha'am, the customary way, Ovrim Bazer Achar Zeh. The people pass one after another. Right? The mourners would sit in a row, or stand in a row, and everyone passes in front of them to wish them Menachem and Avelim. Right, you should be.
We walked down.
So that's.
The men on one side, the women on the other side.
Achon. So that's something. I'm not sure how that fits in. It is the other the. Yeah, it's not that. This isn't the two rows. Now we do two rows on either side, and the mourners passing between. I don't know the connection between the two, or where one, when one switched and it changed to a different thing. It might. Okay. So all the people pass in front. And the one appointed, the Mamuneh, he places himself in the middle, he middles himself, between him, and between the people. So who middles himself? So Rashi explains the Kohen Gadol is the one who puts himself in the middle between the. Anyone should have a speedy with Kushalema, Kai, Ashif, and Aviva. Top. So, what's he saying? He's saying that the mourners, we'll do the mourners in black. The mourners. Is the one in the middle. If you see Rashi on this, no, so what in the normal situation, if I get why are these the mourners? Legs now. So normally, right? They pass by, that's a normal situation. What's the situation when Kohen Gadol comes? So the Mishnah says, just like the way, the normal way of things, so too the Kohen Gadol comes to mourn them, but with an appointed one with him, and he's in the middle.
But I thought the mourners were walking.
No. So we do it differently now. We do it differently. Originally, the mourners stayed in place, and the people walk past them. Now the mourners, I don't know why they changed it or what their significance is. Tom, you can look that up for homework. Ask Rabbi Google and come back and share with us tomorrow the reason why we now do it differently. The Rashi explains like this. You're right. We missed out a line of people. We missed out. There's another line. But the line of people is, this is the mourners. We're now doing the happy mourners. The mourners, these are the mourners. So these are the mourners, sorry. Okay, mourners, people paying respects, Kohen Gadol, and then his appointed one.
What is the appointed one doing? What's his purpose?
That's a good question. Maybe he's there to make sure let's have a look.
I could see if he was supposed to be like a official Marot.
Uh-huh.
But then put the people on the other side where we have the appointed one to keep him from the warners maybe going out of line and trying to touch him.
Right. He could be the bodyguard. Or
Why gave you the impression here that the pointed one is to his right?
Instead of the heart scroll tells me. But I think Rashi said to his right. Here, Rashi says to his right. If you look at Mamuneh, Hamamuneh scanna kohanim, and mansa'o le kohen gadol, beino le vein ha'am, she hamamuneh b'yimino, v'kol ha'am b'smolo, v'hu b'emsa.
So the people are walking with the kohen gadol and his assistant. At least that's what the impression I'm getting with the picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure the significance of exactly what's going on there at all. Okay. Kishuhu met Nachem Meyachayrin, when he is comforted by others, right? So that was when he comes to comfort. When he is comforted, right, if one of the relatives of the Kohen Gadol dies, he's sitting Shiva, what happens? Kol ha'am omrim lo anu kaparatach. All other people say to him, we are your kapara. We are your atonement. What does it mean? Anu kaparata, banu titkaper ata, vanachnu tachtich l'chol harui lavo alea lecha. We are your kapara, we are your atonement, and we are in place of you for anything that's fitting that should come on you. Interesting. You see that that when a person is mourning, he's got a big din on him. He's got a big din. I don't know why there is, but it just is. Gilu, that he's suffering now, right? When he's a person's in pain, he's not happy. Or when you, we know that as soon as you take away your happiness, person's opened up to big judgments. But I think the fact that he's suffering, he's had this loss, is a sign that he's being judged. Doesn't really matter what loss. The fact that it's a loss, I think that's what the kapara is. That we'll take upon you. We'll take anything that would have come on you. Right, instead of the suffering that you have to suffer.
The people are saying that you're the one who gives us kapara.
Yeah. And now we're going to do a few.
Banu tit kapera ata.
Uh-huh.
You give us kapara.
Oh.
Banu
tit
kapera. And now in return, we depend on you. Anachnu kapera. We're at the mercy of the tzaddik, so to say.
Uh-huh.
And,
okay,
and
okay.
Now, because we're connected, you've given us kapara, we can give it to you. We can try to give it to you.
What's this? Anachnu tachtayach l'karavi u'levor alecha. We're in your place for everything that was fitting to come on you. Yeah.
I guess it's a side that he takes in all the judgment, Father Bami said. And they say, we're going to take everything.
The Art Scrolls translation of the Rashi said, may you be atoned through us.
That's right.
May you be atoned through us. Through us, yeah, that's Banu, through us may you be atoned.
Yeah.
And what, how? By our acceptance of whatever hardship is due to you.
Right, then you can give us kapara afterwards. You're the one who give us kapara, so if we can get anything that's bad off you, then and it's on us, then later you give us the kapara.
Yeah, but later you give us the kapara, it's not here. That's not here. Later you give us the kapara.
I think
that's irrelevant.
What is it for an answer?
I think they're just saying, like, you know, he, the Kohen Gadol, is meant to die, so we'll die instead of him. Whatever is meant to come to him, so it'll come upon him.
Yeah, but why? Why would they say that? Dafka now.
Because he has this.
Well, it's irrelevant to him. The fact he's now in mourning, so we say this to him.
Because he has all these things on him.
Yeah, like you said, for whatever reason he has judgment, so they're taking the judgment on themselves.
Right. Okay, but who are Melahem? He says to them, Tit Baruchu min Hashemayim, may you be blessed from heaven. Very nice. I feel that's meaningful rather than just a nice thing to say. He says thank you very much. I'm sure there's probably a bit more to it than just he says thanks. Right? But I'm not sure whatever that means in deeper understanding. He says you should be blessed, may you be blessed from heaven. Ukishima Vimoto, and when they feed him, all the people sit on the ground.
Why do we say God bless you when someone sneezes? Sneezing something bad?
Yeah, yeah.
Abraham.
This is it. This is the source.
Why?
Was it something bad with the Kohen?
That's different.
And you're telling him, we'll take your kapara.
No, he says you should be blessed.
He says, yeah.
But they're not in trouble. The Am aren't in trouble. Oh, he says if you take on my troubles, you should be Hashem should bless you.
So taking on the trouble.
The reason they say God bless you is because people used to die with a sneeze. Yeah, the what?
Remember Abraham.
He
sneezed and he died, right?
I don't know. Is that what Midrash says? I don't know. I've not heard about Abraham. Maybe. But apparently they used to sneeze because the neshama would come out when they sneezed. Apparently Abraham died from a sneeze.
I think after Yaakov, this in the time before Yaakov, when he was sneezed, he died.
Yeah.
There was no so he prayed that Hashem stopped.
I think later on, and also I think later on it just caught on because people got ill. Right, and they would die from their illness, and so it started sneezing. You started worrying about them.
Before Yaakov was born, is there?
Who
was the last one?
Before people died,
and
they sneezed.
Yeah. He was, right, but he
didn't
die from the sneeze.
Today, this is
why we say, not for you. Okay. So, what's this when they feed him? What's this when they feed him? Rashi says, the kind of land, like we learned, we established in a different perek, Evel, Bavel, Se'udah Rishona, Asor Le'achol Mishalom. For an Aval, his first meal is forbidden for him to eat from himself, his own food. An Aval is not meant to eat his own food for his first meal after the funeral. Not after the death, it's after the funeral. First meal after the funeral is meant to be cooked by other people, meant to be brought by other people. Usually, if you're in a city like Liverpool, where nobody's heard of many laws, the rabbi will arrange to bring the first meal to the mourners. Right, it's a halacha.
And normally they don't all sit on the floor, right?
Ah, no, so here they do for the Kohen Gadol, right? All the people sit on the floor. But who makes the balas tafsal? Why do they sit on the floor? Hem metzirin u'mitablim al tzaro. The people, they afflict themselves and they mourn on his sorrow. But who may sit but kavod alav safsal? But he sits in kavod on a chair. To the people, it's like the people. It's like a continuation, I think, of what they said. That will be your kapara, right? We'll do your mourning. You don't, kilu. He's not. You don't mourn. We'll do the mourning for you. Right? We don't want the Kohen Gadol to mourn. The Kohen Gadol's got a job to do. He's not allowed to bury his own dead. We know he can't contaminate himself. Right? And therefore, why? Because he's got a job to do. So we're going to take on your mourning. We saw with, just thought of now, I think it may be connected, what you saw with in the Torah with Aaron. When Nadav and Avihu died, he carried it, he just kept on, he got a job to do.
And he stays so long with the Kohen Gadol down.
Right.
This is when the parents from the guy he quoted in the Miklat pray to Hashem that the Kohen died, he can die before his time. So when he's mourned, the Kohen Gadol, why he's connected, the people go to the Miklat where the Kohen died, they feel it. Because he was not praying anymore.
Right.
We are always connected to Hashem to pray on Israel. When he's mourning, his mind is not on Israel.
Maybe. Right. We don't want him to be sad. Right? Being sad is
1/60th of death.
Yeah, but being sad is terrible, right? It's the worst thing. Right? You can't serve Hashem through sadness. Can't serve Hashem through sadness. If the Kohen Gadol can't serve Hashem, then the nation's in trouble. Right? He's got a job to do. So we don't want him to be sad. We want him to take the mourning off him, I guess.
Seems to indicate that the reason he's sick in mourning, is not because we're sad, but that we have kapara to do. That is connected to kapara.
Could be also connected, I think, here to kavod, and the fact maybe connected to kavod, because we see here that he sits on a safsal for kavod, right? Safsal is sitting on a chair. Safsal is a chair. He's sitting on a normal chair. Nahon. So as opposed to, so that's what I'm saying. So why do we sit on a low chair? Because sitting on a normal chair is kavod. So would Dafka want to be not having kavod? Right, we could come back to this question of the dinim being on a person. When dinim are on a person, he has to lower himself, because if he shows any kavod, they're gonna knock him off.
It's easier to get kapara from a low place.
Uh-huh. Right, to make oneself low. Yeah.
But given he's a Kohen Gadol, he can't lower himself, so everyone else does.
Well, the Mishnah needs to tell me that, because otherwise I may have thought he should just act like anyone else. If he has a close relative that dies, he should just be in mourning like everyone else.
Right.
The Mishnah needs to come and tell me that that's not the case.
Right.
He needs to maintain his position, and that people do the atoning, so to speak, for him. Okay. Hamelech lo dan v'lo daninoto. Right, so now we've got the juxtaposition of the laws, all those laws we just learned about the Kohen Gadol, we're now going to learn them against the king. What's the king's version of these rules? So the melech lo dan v'lo daninoto. He doesn't judge and he may not be judged against. Right? He's not allowed to be a dayan in the court. Why not? The Gemara is going to go on to it later when it looks at the Mishnah. But why can't he be a dayan if he wants to be a judge? Why not? David HaMelech, he can't be a dayan, he can't be a judge. Why can't he be a judge? He's not allowed, Mishnah says. Not allowed to be a judge. Any thoughts? Why not?
Just on the second part.
The first part. Why can't he be a judge?
When we talk about Shlomo HaMelech, they always see the scales.
Nachon. He, you're right. I think there's a difference here. The king can judge, meaning of his own accord. Right? The king says something, it happens. So he's a judge, but he doesn't sit on a beit din. So we're here, Diane. Why can't the king sit on a beit din? That's probably going
to
do it.
Maybe he has the final word.
Like
he has the final word. Meaning, if there's a problem in the beit din, you go to.
He's
the
not
king.
Right. Yeah. So the Gemara Bli Neder, I think, is going to come and tell us that reason why is that if we allowed him to be a judge, everybody will follow him. Who's going to go and against the king? Right. If he said it wrong. Well, he said it. Right. I think differently. Yeah. Right. You're going to argue with the king. Whether or not Moshe was part of it or step. Ah, that's interesting. Ah, okay. Nice. Who's going to argue?
Yeah.
I think actually that you're wrong, Moshe. You didn't understand the passage. This is what Hashem meant. Right? I was there. Come on.
Moshe was
open, isn't it? I know. Part of it is part of the 71.
The 70
Not according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbanan, no. Rabbanan said no, 71, that's what we learned. So that, and we follow Rabbanan. We have 71 Sanhedrin.
You see, when you gain some Moshe Rabbeinu,
well, so that's the reason why he can't be a judge. And why can't we judge him? Well, obviously, who's gonna. Tom.
I think he can't. Can't be judged, because if you judge the king here, you maybe think you can judge the king of
there. Ah, yeah, the king is the representative. This world is meant to be, right, a reflection. It is not meant to be. It is. We just can't see it. Everything down here is a reflection of heavenly. Right. This is just. You learn that, by the way, from the Aleph. That letter Aleph teaches you all the significant, all the letters, their shape and everything. So the Aleph is what? It's a Vav. And two yuds. And the Vav is a Vav Kibor, the connection, right? And it splits the two worlds, the one above and the one below, which are a mirror reflection of each other, the yud and the yud, right? Tells you about that. So anyway, the king is a reflection of the king, which is why the king has, for example, extrajudicial powers, right? He doesn't have to, he can make his own rules. If he wants to kill someone, he kills someone. Don't have to follow. Yeah, but wait a minute. Where's it saying Baba Bakri, you're allowed to kill someone? That doesn't matter. King says, right? He's allowed to, right? Because he's has that ability to. Yes.
Only when you keep the laws of Hashem,
you have power. Yeah, but the rules of the king. The rules of the king are that he does have power.
Well, that brings up my question. What if you have a wicked king? And we've had plenty of wicked kings.
Well, he still has the power, but he's going to answer for it. Tov. Okay. So that's the king. Amelech lo dan v'lo danin oto. Lo me'id v'lo me'idin oto. And we don't... He don't make him a witness. Don't allow him to be a witness. The same reason, right? Because who's going to argue against him? And we don't... you're lying. I don't believe you. You're not going to say that to the king. Right? V'lo me'idin oto. We don't testify against him. Which is also follows from the fact that he can't be judged. So I'm not quite sure maybe we'll see in the Gemara why we need both. If you can't be judged, then obviously you can't be witnessed against. I'm not sure there's obviously something there that I'm missing. But I don't know what that is. Okay, what about Chalitza and Yibum? Lo choletz v'lo choltzin lishto. Right, he cannot perform Chalitza, like we said, because you're not allowed to spit at him. Right, so he can't perform chalitza. If the king's brother dies and leaves a widow childless, can the king do chalitza with the widow? No, not allowed. With the wife of his dead brother.
And nor with his wife.
So, and the second half is, and not with his wife. Right? Right? They don't, they're not... married, because you're not allowed to marry the king's wife. It's not not kavod for the king to marry his wife, apparently. I think that's the reason.
King's wife was meant to have children from
no, no, sorry, that's chalitza. That's chalitza. Sorry. Not, wait a minute. King is not allowed. she's not allowed to remarry, and therefore, because it says here their explanation is because she's not allowed to remarry, she's not allowed to do yibum, she's not allowed to marry anyone else. For that reason, she's not also allowed to do chalitza, because you can't, if one's not allowed, then the other one's, which is what you were saying before about the other situation.
The king's wife is meant to have children, kings from the king.
Yeah, you're right. So what I said was wrong. Wherever yibum may not be performed, the chalitza may not be performed either. It's a rule in Yuvamot. That wherever yibum is not allowed, so when I gave you that case of the two sisters, and I said that you have to do chalitza, it was a wrong ruling. Yuvamot teaches us in the footnote here that wherever yibum is not allowed, for example, in the case of the two sisters, or for example here in the case of the king, chalitza is also automatically not allowed. Kohen, we did allow. Kohen, chalitza. No, he's not allowed to do yibum. Ah. Is he allowed to do chalitza? But he can do chalitza, interestingly. So that is different. He's not allowed to do yibum, but he is allowed to do chalitza, so that seems to go against his rule. Nachon? We just learned in the beginning of the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol choletz, he is allowed to perform chalitza, but he's not allowed to do yibum, because he can't marry a widow. So according to what to this, he shouldn't be allowed to do chalitza either. When you don't have a yibum, you're not allowed to do chalitza, says the, and he Kohen Gadol does.
Isn't it the same
thing?
His brother died, so he can take his wife.
He's not allowed, because he's not allowed to marry a widow. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow.
It says here that the king can.
The almanac.
Yeah, well, it says here the king, the king can't, because it's not fitting that the kids are going to be called under like the brother's name.
Ah, so that's the second reason.
They're bringing the kids for like.
All right, the king marries for his own self and not marry for the sake of the brother.
That was Onan that did that, no?
Number three. If the Kohen Gadol's brother dies, the Kohen Gadol may perform chalitza. Chalitza, he can reject the chalitza where he takes the shoe off. She takes the shoe off and she spits.
What does she do? She takes off her own shoe?
No, his shoe.
She takes off his shoe?
Yeah.
Any
shoe? Customarily, yeah, they have the shoe, right? Where she spits is a matter of dispute. Because the Torah says she spits b'fanav. What's b'fanav mean? So you can have two interpretations. B'fanav means in front of him, b'fanav. Or means b'panav, in his face. So there's two, one is actually in his face and one is not in front of him. So most people go with in front of him, like not to do in his face. Because if you can make possible, they're both possible, so go with the leader without to spit in his face, if you could go with the other view.
Yeah, it makes sense to say in his face, huh?
But spitting anyway, in front of the king.
The king is going to spit.
Yeah, to spit at the king, it's very rude.
Us
who are completely kind of we're not sensitive at all to anything. Someone spat on the floor. Who cares? Right, but in the past, to spit by the king, could get killed for that. I'm actually get killed for that. You spat at the king. The king walked past. You spat on the floor next to him. They kill you. I mean, I'm assuming. I don't know if they would. But I have every reason to assume they probably would. You're not. It's rebelling against the king. That's rebelling against the king. You're allowed to kill people. Tov. Okay, let's try and get to the end of the Mishnah. Next few minutes, if we can. Okay. What do we say? Lo cholet v'lochol lochol sin ishto. He doesn't perform chalitza, and chalitza doesn't be performed on his wife. Lo miyabem v'lo yimababim ishto. He doesn't perform yibum, and yibum may not be performed with his wife. So he doesn't perform yibum, because like we said, like Rabbi Yoel said, when a person performs yibum, they're not marrying for themselves, the kids are in the name of the deceased. And it's not kavod for the king that his kids are not really his kids. He's a surrogate father. Right, so his brother loses out, sorry, but he's the king. That's what happens. Right? Yibum may not be performed with his wife. Right? You're not allowed to marry the widow of a king. The widow of a king is not allowed to marry us. There's a dispute at the end. We see that David did marry Shaul's widow. The end of the mission is going to bring a different view, but we'll see that in a minute. But the rule of the Tanakhama, the first opinion, is that you're not allowed to, no roll-ups in the class. We're going to see now in the mission. The mission is going to say. I'm just going to say, tell you that mission is going to argue on that. But the general rule is that we don't marry the widow of a king. Whose child? That's the reason why. Don't know. Let's just get to that in a minute. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says differently. Im ratza lachlots uliyabem zacholatov. If he wants to do chalitza or to do yibum, zacholatov, he's remembered favorably. In kol hakavod, if the king wants to lower himself, it's up to him. If he wants to lower himself so that someone spits in front of him, or he wants to lower himself to do a kindness to his brother's wife, to take her on and take the children in the brother's name, fine. You're right, he doesn't have to. It's not kavod, but if he wants to lower his kavod and be humble, he can do it. Amar amru lo, they said to him, like the rabbis said to him, ein shomin lo, we don't listen to him. If he wants to, we don't listen to him. Meaning, the king has a certain kavod that he's not allowed to reject himself. Right? People in positions of power sometimes are not allowed to lower their own kavod because it's a kavod of Am Yisrael, it's a kavod of the king. The king's not allowed to roll around in the mud because he feels like lowering himself. It's very nice for you, but you've got a job to do. You've got your representative, Am Yisrael, your representative of Hashem. We don't allow you to do something. Some things are not kavod. Not for you, for the position.
Kings are chosen by Hashem.
Ideally. That's the it's meant to be. Well, I don't know. Can we see? We only saw that with Shaul and David. That the Navi said, but after that we didn't see that the Navi was. No, well, not from the Navi, from David. David said that Shlomo was going to be king, but not from the Navi.
No, I think someone said that your son Shlomo will build the temple, not you. So he knew that Shlomo was going to be king.
Whoever
the mother was, the proper wife. That's what
I don't know. Whoever managed to take the throne, really, at that point. It wasn't such a obvious lineage, as far as I can tell. Certainly, if you know, through kings and stuff, it was whoever managed to. Okay, Tom. So the rabbis say he's not allowed to do that. The ein nosin almanato. We may not marry a king's widow. Right? We learn that, right? That's the yibum. We may not marry his widow, or if he dies, whether or not she's got children or not. Right? So this is kind of additional kiddush, not just the yibum, but any widow. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nosea melech almanato shel melech. A king may marry the widow of a king. Not everyone, but a new king can marry the widow of a king. Why? Sheken matzino b'David, because we found that in David. Shenasa almanato shel Shaul, because he married the widow of Shaul. Shenema, like it says, ve'etna lecha, and I gave you et beit adonecha, the house of your master, meaning Shaul, ve et neshei adonecha bechekecha, and the wives of your master, bechekecha, into your bosom. So, Hashem gave them to David to marry. Yeah, he had quite a few in the end.
Okay, you got an answer on
the second one? No, what?
That is
the two of
the 11.
Another one? So he had one? Huh?
What happened?
Well, 11 o'clock he had surgery today. Oh, so he didn't have on Sunday then. Oh, no. He meant to have on Sunday.
It's another one.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
I think Abraham said he's having two more.
Ah, okay. Yofi. So, Wafur Shalema of Mordechai Asher Ben Aviva.
How's he doing?
So, apparently, he's having another operation today at 11. Tov, that's the Mishnah for today. Shabbat Hashem. Dive into the Gemara tomorrow.